Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of the Film and Decorators podcast, your one-stop shop for everything apparel decoration, paper on demand, everything to do with decorating garments. Andy and I are thrilled to be joined by Shauna today, who is Director of Global Sales and Support at Hotronics, so the expert in all things heat presses, and we're super excited to have her join us today. So hi Shauna, how are you?
Hey Molly, hey Andy, I'm really excited to be here.
I'm so grateful that you took the time out to record this episode with us. I said to Andy last week, I was like, we need to do an episode on Hotronics and on the brand story, because it's such an incredible story as to how this world-leading brand came about. And we've mentioned it to customers before, but I don't think we've ever actually sat down and explained it to everyone properly before. So I thought you'd be the perfect person to do that.
Sure. Would love to tell the story. Do you want me to just launch into that a little bit?
Yeah, if you want to, let's
jump straight in. Yeah.
Sure. So as you all know, Stahls was started here in the United States, which is where I am. I'm joining you all from Pennsylvania today. But Stahls started in Michigan in 1932. And the grandfather of the current owner started the company, and he started by die cutting felt to attach to team uniforms. That's still a big part of our business today. But over the years, Ted, who is the current owner, was quite the entrepreneur and started adding adhesive to this fabric to see if they could have it stick instead of being sewn on. Well, in doing that, the adhesives required really precise temperatures to get the adhesive to adhere so that it wouldn't fall off or burn when it was getting applied. There really wasn't a heat press on the market at the time or any type of iron that was precise enough to have the adhesive stick well. So Ted went to all of the heat press manufacturers at the time to see if they would be willing to innovate. Then let me just tell you the problems that those heat presses had. They had cold spots. They either were too hot or too cold, or they didn't have even heat across the platen. But those manufacturers weren't interested. They just felt like what they had was pretty good. So Ted, being the entrepreneur that he was, decided to create his own heat press. So he put together a team of experts, and there was a gentleman named Ron Anderson, who was an expert in the industry. Ted collaborated with Ron Anderson on building a better heat press. So what they did was embedded the elements into the upper platen. They made the upper platen thicker. They coated it with Teflon, did a lot of tweaks to what was then known as a heat press to come up with the heat press that we have today. What they developed became the industry standard for a heat press. So that Teflon coating in the upper platen, a uniform element, is the hallmark of a Hotronics unit. But that's how Hotronics was born.
And one of the things that I found really interesting when I was looking into Hotronics all the time, really, but even things like the thickness of the plate is something that has kind of been pioneered by Hotronics. Actually, now we're kind of a common size, but the first people to work out that's how thick it really needs to be effective was Hotronics.
That is correct. That allowed the element to be coil wound and to hold the heat. So the element has some spaces. There's, you know, maybe, I don't know the exact space, but it's maybe a half inch to an inch as it winds around the platen. But the thickness of that top element allowed the cast aluminum to hold enough heat to make the heat all around the platen the same temperature.
And one of the things that people don't necessarily realize when looking at heat presses is that it's not just the painter temperatures that can have an impact on what's great when you first start the day. Every time you press down, it can take heat out of it. So that's where the retention part is so important when you're thinking about getting heat press.
You're absolutely correct, Andy. Every time you pull that press down and engage that upper heated platen onto your garment or you know, whatever it is that you're heat pressing, and then also the lower platen, it sucks the heat right out of that top element. Just like when you have anything hot and you put it on cold, it pulls that heat out. So having the ability to maintain the heat to bring that upper platen back up to temperature quickly enough, and doing that over and over and over again throughout the course of a production day is something that not all heat presses can do.
I know that when we came out to visit the factory not that long ago, I was still amazed to find out that all of the metal and like cast iron steel that's used on the machines is from America. It's from Pennsylvania. Has that always been the case ever since like day one that they've started?
Yes, the steel was always locally sourced here. So the Hotronics facility is not far from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, if you're not aware, is called the Steel City. So there was an abundance of steel manufacturers in the area. So it was easy to source that raw material locally. And we continue to do that today.
We always talk about, obviously, the most important things that you need from a heat press when you're on a power decorator. But obviously, like you mentioned in the beginning, the cold spots being one of them. I mean, consistent heat and pressure and things like that. But there are so many innovative features that Hotronics have thought of to include in presses to make the finished product a better quality, to make the process more efficient, to make it quicker and more accurate. What would you say are like the most important features? And I mean, we could sit through them off to talk about them in our videos on a weekly basis, but what would you say are like the most innovative and the most important features from that press that help garment decorators on a daily basis?
So time, temperature, and pressure are the trinity of heat printing. You have to have accurate pressure, you have to have accurate heat, and then obviously you have to have the correct time for whatever product you're putting on. Hotronics heat presses have innovated in all of those areas. So if you look at temperature, that is the coil wound upper heated element. Additionally, there have been some extra accessories developed to add heat to the lower platens if necessary. We found that garments scorch, and polyester is one of those garments that scorch, and that's a very popular garment type in the sportswear industry. A lot of those, you know, athletic shirts that folks wear, they will scorch. So Hotronics has innovated by creating heat that comes from underneath to allow you to reduce the temperature on the top platen to eliminate that scorching on the outside. So we innovate in temperature. We innovate in pressure. Our pressure is over the center of the upper platen, so that pressure is even all throughout the heating element, which is really important. We have, in creating that pressure dynamic, sometimes it makes the heat press really hard to engage. So Hotronics has engineered those presses such that it's not very hard to engage. Some of the less expensive or less well-made heat presses, you'll see people who have to literally jump up and put all of their weight on the handle to pull that heat press down. With Hotronics, you can sometimes use one hand on a heat press, and that's even at a heavy temperature. So we've innovated in that pressure situation. Additionally, we've innovated in all of the accessories that have been developed. So different types of platen sizes, different platen shapes, just many different types of accessories that we've created that allow the garment decorator to be very precise in that application location to get that accurate temperature. So you want to make sure that you can get all the seams and the zippers and all of the buttons and things that would impede a good temperature, or excuse me, a good pressure application. We've tried to account for those. And then finally, time is of utmost importance. You don't want to leave it on too long and burn the garment. You don't want to leave it on not quite long enough and have run the risk of it falling off after a few washes. So our presses have integrated timers that you can set that match the recipe of the product that you are applying to the garment. We have some of our presses automatically open. So our auto open line, you can walk away. Our air fusion line, so that single air fusion and the dual air fusion are run by a compressor and they lift up. So those presses automatically lift up for you. And then on our fusion line of presses, there's a really loud buzzer that says, hey, get back here and lift the handle.
So as part of your running, we're very close to the technical team, the support team at Hotronics as well. Does this seem a good time to talk about common mistakes that people make. So obviously, you know, as well as anyone, the things that people make get wrong with deep presses that are easy fixes for them to make. But feature craps, you know, list of a few things that people listening might be doing wrong with their heat press and how they're looking after it and treating it day to day, that they could, if they stop doing this, it would make the heat press last longer, but also perform better as well.
Sure. I think the most important thing to think about there, Andy, is having a dedicated power source. So when you get that heat press and you take it out of the box, of course, the first thing you want to do is plug it in. Don't ever plug it into a surge protector, because a surge protector varies the electricity coming into the press. So that's not a good mix for our heat press. We want a continuous source of electricity. We always recommend that those heat presses are on a dedicated circuit. So you don't want anything else on that particular circuit. And if folks are in a facility that they haven't had an electrician come into, what that means is sometimes a plug in one room will be attached to other plugs in that same room or down a wall. So if you have a line of plugs on a counter, for example, each of those plugs may be on that same circuit. What we're recommending with a heat press is that you have one plug going to one circuit. So if you can plug in something else down the line, and when you shut the breaker off, the heat press and all those other things go off, that's not a dedicated circuit. So that's another cautionary thing to look at. People typically don't do that, especially if they're excited to get started, right?
Which I do understand. I do get it.
That's really important. And then we also recommend that you don't plug it into an extension cord. If you must plug it into an extension cord, you need to get the thickest cable extension cord and also the shortest extension that's possible. But we really recommend that you don't. So those are a couple of mistakes that people make. Overpressure is something that we see regularly. So just because your pressure can go to 10 doesn't mean you should operate it at 10 all the time. That really wears on that spindle, that knob at the top that's putting the pressure on the machine. You repeatedly keep that super high, and it's very difficult or a little more challenging to pull the handle down. You know that you're at a high pressure. That will damage the machine. There's some routine maintenance that has to happen on the machines. Obviously, you want to keep them clean. You want to blow out any dust. And dust accumulates a lot with the garments that we're using. Some folks are using some types of spray adhesives and so forth, spray tack in their shops for other reasons. So you want to make sure you're cleaning that off on a regular basis. Just visually checking the machine to make sure that it looks good. You know, there's no scratches on it. There's no dents. And the one thing that we see is folks don't have their machine leveled. So we'll get questions when the drawer won't and a fusion won't stay back, or things are a little like the platen isn't working exactly as it's intended. Sometimes it's as simple as making sure that the machine is level. So we run into those easy to fix solutions. But I think keeping top of mind is electricity. You want a good electric source, a dedicated electric source. You want to make sure that you are doing routine maintenance on that machine. You're checking it. You're looking at it. And then I think lastly, the third most important thing I would say is this is a mechanical piece of equipment. It requires maintenance, and it will require some wear parts that have to be occasionally replaced. Occasionally a switch will break. Occasionally a wire will burn out if you're using it a lot. And that's normal. That doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with the press. It's a mechanical piece of equipment that we have to keep in tip-top running shape, just like you would your car or anything else.
I think the cleaning one is actually a really good one. It's not something that we talk about a lot to customers, but especially if you have one of the diffusion machines where you know it's not got the clamp to open up and you can visually see it at a glance. I know that we've had just fusing stuff in the showroom where someone before us has come in, fused a jumper with a zip, not thought to put color paper on. But it's just great. Yeah, nice metal zip, meeting metal. This is a good idea. And then you come a week later, I'm wearing this fused shirt for a show, and they're like, oh, why is there a line that you put my transfer all of a sudden? But you wouldn't see it. Don't think to visually check the press to make sure someone has to use it. If you've got a Fusion machine, you're probably using it quite a lot, where you might have multiple users on it. But it is really good to just have it, even if it, like every Friday afternoon, clean it down, make sure there's nothing sticking to it. That's what we always say, use cover sheets, even if it's like a hot fill, just because it has to be practiced, because you never know what the other user's going to be doing with the press.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, if you've got staff working for you, I suppose it's different if you're a one-man business and it's just you. You should still clean it regularly, but you know what's been under there. Mm-hmm. But if you have staff working for you, yeah, it's another ball game.
That's a really great point. And yeah, it wouldn't be a bad idea to have a little maintenance checklist on the wall that the shop owner has posted so that the production team can check that off. We do have a PDF of recommended maintenance that I can share with you guys that you can post for your for the listeners to access so they can see some things that they should be doing on a regular basis with their heat presses.
That would be great. I'll put a link to that in the comments from everybody listening if you want to get hold of that PDF from Shauna. And the other thing I was going to say as well about the cleaning and maintaining them is that these machines are built to last within your business. They're built, you know, we offer a lifetime warranty on these again because we know the machines will grow and then will run with your business year after year. But obviously, like you said, it's a piece of equipment and it needs maintaining. You can't not touch it and it's worked perfectly. You know, you need to get the TLC.
Yep, that's correct.
So what are some of the more common issues that people come across? Because we talk a lot about, you know, why Hotronix is the number one heat press brand and all the innovations that help printers on a daily basis. But what are the common things that you see for customers who don't have a Hotronix that common issues with cheaper import presses, for example, that people maybe find on Amazon, or, you know, they're buying their first heat press and maybe they are limited on budget, so they go for something a little bit lower on the lot lane, but then later down the line they have sort of issues with the press.
So Hotronix heat presses are threadable, which means you can get a nice flat surface to heat press on. So that gives you that even pressure. What we'll see with customers who have purchased a less expensive press and are upgrading to a Hotronix, a lot of comments that we hear are customers didn't really understand the importance of being able to get the garment off of the press and getting a good solid application. Many of the import presses don't have a pressure readout, and that's one of the features of the Hotronix. We'll give you a digital readout of what that pressure is, so customers are just guessing what the pressure is. So they're either over-pressuring, and most customers will tend to over-pressure their transfers rather than under-pressure. What they don't realize in over-pressuring is they're smushing out all of the adhesive, which might lead to application failure. And they won't know that right away. The customer will walk out of the shop and the transfer will look fine, but, you know, three washes in, it's starting to crack and peel and fall off. So it's already out in the market. So pressure is one of the things that we see. Not being able to thread the garment leads to that. Not having a digital temperature, or excuse me, a digital pressure readout, so that you know when it calls for a 5, you're giving it a 5 all of the time. Those are a couple of the issues that we see with customers. And then heat. We've talked a lot about heat, but heat is really important. So customers, they're press might read one heat, but it really is giving them either a much higher or a much lower heat. But again, they won't know that when they're at the machine if they're not taking steps to maintain the machine and looking at it and aware of it. I guess awareness, we're bringing awareness to these today during this conversation.
And I guess unless you're chipping at on the heat press for the temperature probe every time you do an application, you're never going to know if it's the exact right temperature anyway. And who has time to be doing that every time they have a job to do?
Exactly.
And just to give people a bit of an idea about how hard these machines work, Shauna, you don't have to give any names and systems, obviously, but what are the sort of volume that you're seeing our customers do with these machines on a daily basis that might surprise them?
We have some rather large, high-volume production customers, and these machines are doing hundreds of hits per day. So we have customers who are making literally thousands of garments a day with Hotronix machines. And if they're a well-maintained machine, people are taking care of them, not banging them around. You know, on the swing machines, you're not throwing it back. You don't have the air machines cranked up so that they can go as fast as possible. But if they're taking mindful care of the machines, they will last a really long time, years and years.
So right, we're independent, but we put this second year, we put some machines here that, you know, we could start our own museum because we've got seemed like from the 80s, literally from the 80s. Now, if I've never seen it here and I went, saw that in the shop, I'd be like, I have no idea what this, unless I had this electronic sticker with it, like, I have no idea what this machine is because it's obviously so old, but they still work. So we can't justify throwing them away or getting rid of them. It's like, still good.
We have customers who have some of those machines, and we try to maintain parts, but after a while, sometimes parts just aren't available anymore. And it's often a hard conversation for our technicians when they're like, we just can't get you that part anymore. It just is not made anywhere anymore. So.
Yeah, you can't keep making machines that were built 40 years ago. Otherwise, I think you have an endless line of replacement parts that no one needs. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about, which is kind of, it is still on the Hotronix topic, but it's a bit more exciting new product, is obviously the new ProPlace that everyone has been talking about, the brand new machine. There's a lot of innovations that we've discussed that Hotronix have brought to market, but this new machine has completely taken it to another level. So would you like to tell the listeners, if they haven't, I mean, I'm sure everyone at this point knows what the ProPlace is, but if they haven't, Jordan, would you like to tell everyone what the ProPlace IQ is and what it does?
Sure. The ProPlace IQ is an art projection system. So what it allows the customer to do is take their artwork, upload it into the cloud, and then project that piece of artwork onto the garment in the size and at the location that they need it. This product pairs with our dual air fusion. So it adds two projectors, one for each platen, to the dual air fusion. And it's the best of Hotronix heat print technology with technology, right? With internet and cloud and Wi-Fi technology. So we're pairing some digital technology along with our manufacturing technology to increase the production time for our customers and also reduce errors. So we're allowing those customers who are doing high volume production to get the piece of artwork in the right location every time. So we're going to improve quality for those folks, reduce mistakes, no more upside down names, which I've done upside down numbers plenty of times myself. A 3 turns out like an E. But we've really tried to think about our customers and what would make the most sense for them and how can we improve the life of our operators and our production facilities to get the most out of the heat press.
And the great thing is that the styles, they can fulfillment center is obviously just around the corner from Hotronix manufacturing facilities. So these are not just theoretical ideas. These are used and put to the test in real life examples from when we do the high volume jobs for some of the bigger customers that most people don't want to do, so they have to really be put through the paces to make it to the customer as well.
Yeah, that's a great point. I was at DFC earlier this week, and it's exciting to see the ProPlaces being added to the dual air fusions, and those operators are getting trained on how to use it. And there was, you know, a glitch here or there, I won't lie, but it's great to have DFC right next to Hotronix, or down the road from Hotronix. So that the engineers can go up and make sure that we have this product dialed in before it gets out into the hands of the customers.
And I think the biggest takeaway for me from the ProPlace is the efficiency side of things and how much time it's going to save everyone. I mean, we've created videos before on, you know, how to save time, and time is money when you're heat printing. So small things like the quick slip to make it quicker to load your garment. We also opened the paddy stamp, you know, we say, what was it, like 50 or 55 working days a year and just using those small hats. But the programs takes that to another level. And I think people that are doing even smaller run jobs can benefit from it, because you do just save so much time, which you can either take off and have a half day Friday if you want to, or put that into other jobs and create more money, right? The options there.
Great point, Molly. Great point. I like the production manufacturer, those guys are going to be sad to hear you say the half day Friday, right?
Oh no, they just have to print more. That's all good. It just gives them an extra half day to produce more, make more money. It's fine.
No, that, yeah, you're exactly correct. A lot of folks have trouble left chest, right? Who has messed up a left chest? Who's put it in the armpit? Who's put it up on the shoulder? We all have done that. But with this technology, you can get rid of those jigs. You can get rid of the rulers. Because that, as long as you get the garment onto the platen correctly, that transfer will be in the exact same location, garment after garment.
And I just have one final question for you, Shauna, from a personal point of view as to how you would recommend this. Well, we have people come to us all the time asking about which heat press is best for them. And we always say that we would never sell you a heat press just because it's more expensive. Like, if you don't need a dual fusion, we'll sell you an auto. We might sell you the dual if you don't need it. But what would you recommend people look for or choose when, if they come to you and say, like, which heat press should I be at? Which one's right for my business? Like, which one would you, or how would you go about recommending which heat press they have? Which questions would you ask them, I guess?
That's a great question, Molly. And I think that is individualized to each particular customer that we have. So when I'm talking with a customer, I really try to get to know them and understand, first of all, how they're operating their business. Is this a side hustle? If it's a side hustle, is this a parent who has children and they might need to walk away from the machine because they get called to help with homework, or, you know, put something in the microwave, or, you know, somebody needs a Band-Aid? In that case, I recommend that folks look to an auto-open type of press. Or is this a high production facility where we need to have consistent pressure because the garments are super sensitive? Then look to the airline. Or is this somebody who's getting into it a little bit later after having a successful career in something else? So what's important? Do you have physical limitations? We have folks who have some shoulder issues that just can't reach up high enough to pull down an auto open, but a fusion is the best situation for them. So really understanding the needs of the customer, that's first. And then second, how are they running their business? What are they creating? Are they creating things that have a need for a lot of different platen sizes? Do they need to lay out a lot of items on a platen? Does working under the heat complicate things for their business, or are they comfortable working underneath the heat? So there are probably 15 or 20 questions that I'll talk with a customer about to really understand their business. And I think that's one of the hallmarks of Hotronics distributors. So we install in GroupStall all know how important all of those questions are, but we also train our distributors to really get to understand the customer. So we're educating the end user customer, but we're educating our distributors to help the customer choose the right press as well. And some people haven't thought through, you know, when I gave the example of the side hustle, that's a really, that's a very real situation for a lot of our customers. They're doing this in the evening or on the weekends. And if it's a family situation where the customer might get pulled away, I always suggest that they look at the meal plan to get started, because they'll never have to worry about that garment scorching, right? That upper platen will pop up every time. And then we have customers who have shoulder injuries. So, you know, they might not want to get a manual type of press. They might want to invest a few extra dollars to be able to get an air model, just because it will save wear and tear on their bodies and doctor's appointment visits, right? Which costs more money in the long run. So truly thinking about how the business is operated and what is most important to the heat press operator. That's probably another point. It's the operator who matters in the heat press, not necessarily the business owner. So who is running that machine? What are the key features that will make them comfortable operating this machine for, you know, hours a day or a week, depending on what their points?
That's a good point, actually, because depending on which heaters you get and which accessories you get, like the caddy stand is quite adjustable. So rather than getting fuel cell on the counter caddy and putting it on your workspace, if that's going to be too high for whoever's operating it, it's going to be uncomfortable for them, it's going to be a strain. They might not have shoulder issues, but if you're making them reach up too high and pull down, that's going to, over time, might cause something like that. And that's not something you want to inflict on your employees, is it? So something as simple as getting the caddy stand where you can just lower it for whichever one of the printers is operating that press. And same with the equipment cars. If you are investing in a heavier machine like the Duolette Fusion, you don't want to be lifting that, but you physically can't. It's too heavy. So having something like the car that you just wind it up and down makes all the difference when it comes to making the user comfortable.
Yes, that's really important. Operator fatigue is a real situation in heat printing. You know, your operators at the end of the day aren't pressing as many shirts as they are at the beginning of the day if you have a manual press. So those are things to consider when you're running a business. When you said that you saved, what did you say, 55 hours
and a year? 55 days a year, yeah.
55 days a year.
Stopwatch as well. It was quite a fun video.
Yeah, we figured out it was about 15 seconds per teacher by using the quick slip with a caddy. So if you did an app, so if you did 500 shirts a day, it was 55 working days a year that you'd get back. But that's small outlay.
That is crazy. I love it. I love it. But the operator fatigue plays is a very similar calculation that we could figure out. You know, how many can you put out at hour one of your workday versus hour 7 or 8 of your workday?
It's kind of popped in my head as well with the fusion machines. Well, that people always forget is that you can correctly a little to turn on automatically at the beginning of the day. So,
I forget about that.
I want to come on at 8:45, so they're ready at 9, and then you've got an extra 15 minutes of the day back every single day,
right? They have to bring their coffee with to the shop, their coffee or tea with to the shop, as opposed to turning the press on and going to make one.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that was, thank you. With our friend Ben at Belflex was telling us that I can't remember. But he said that he invested a lot of money in a coffee
machine. Oh, I remember this conversation.
And he was like, I know it's a lot of money, guys, but trust me on this. He's like, if I'm going to make coffee for everyone, then I'll do it properly for them. He said he saved so much productivity in the work that they do for some of their bigger clients, because now no one needs to go to the shop once a day, spend an hour quarterly, everyone gets distracted, cost them a lot of money. And he said productivity went through the roof just by buying a very expensive coffee machine at work. So that's not even related, but it will help you more shirts printed at least.
Exactly. Sometimes it's the things you're not looking at, right? You just assume that that's how it works.
So one of the things I wanted to ask in the sort of last question, we've got the director of sales for Hotronics on with us. It'd be foolish of us not to ask a sales question. So you, Sean, if you put yourself in our customers' shoes this time, what would be some sales tips you would recommend for people? You see mistakes you see people making on a daily basis when you're speaking to customers, thinking, I wish I could shake them and tell them to do this. This is the opportunity. There's some sage words of advice to people that improvements they could make, or things that you might think are simple, but not everyone does.
So I have a couple of thoughts. And my first thought is pricing. Low pricing isn't always the way to go. There are so many perceptions around pricing. But customers, those starting out and even those that have been in business a long time, are often afraid to raise their prices. But they're also not evaluating all of the costs that go into producing a print. So overhead time, operator time, transfer time, marketing costs, all of those need to get factored into the price that a customer is charging. And deciding on a business model and sticking with that business model, I think, is important. So if your business model is a boutique heat printer, you're not going to want to keep lowering your prices to compete with a volume operator, right? Who is doing those shirts that aren't meant to last or aren't meant to be, you know, they're more of a promo-y type item. So pricing is one of the things that people tend to get tripped up over. They're afraid to price the product at a fair price, at a price that they would be able to get, right? Price perception, sometimes higher price, the quality is perceived to be better. So pick a garment that costs a dollar more, do an application that maybe costs 15 or 20 cents more, and then charge $10 or $20 for a shoe. It's okay. That's one of the places where folks get kind of a little bit tripped up at sales. I often see customers not asking for the sale. It seems so obvious, right? But when someone comes into your shop, follow up with them and ask, can I have this job? Will you allow me to produce these for you? Are you ready? Do you want to do this today? And can I ring this up for you? So asking for the sale is something that people just really, really get tripped up on. And then I think the third thing is budget. People don't want to ask their customers what their budget is. But let's face it, when we go shopping for something, we all have a budget in mind. We have an idea of what we want to spend, right? Whether we're shopping for produce in the grocery store or a high-end luxury item, a house, a car, we all have a budget in mind. And it's okay to ask what somebody's budget is. If your product is going to be priced way out of line of their budget, then let's not waste one another's time. So folks get really uncomfortable around those sales questions, but it's a natural part of the selling process, of the buying and selling journey, if you will. So those are a couple of things that come to mind that I would recommend people don't get tripped up over it. It's okay. I reassure my sales folks all the time. It's okay to ask. You know, you're in selling. When somebody comes to you to ask questions, they know you're a salesperson. They're obviously interested in purchasing. So don't be afraid to talk about money.
One of the things I remember hearing Josh Hillsworth say in one of his videos about pricing and taking your business to the next level and things like that. And he said when deliberate pricing falls on to it. And I think this is something that I randomly I'd be guilty of doing. You say a price and then you think you go, oh, well, I can get you for the you follow up with like words. Right? If he's pricing limits, people are like, oh, that's the price. Whereas I think I'd be doing anything for sure.
Yeah, just say the price. Here's the price. Don't apologize for the price. And if it's a quality product and you know it's a quality product and you've put hours into the artwork or figuring out the right application process, and the garment is more expensive. Don't apologize for the price. The price is the price. And if that customer's budget doesn't allow them to purchase that product, then there are options, and that's a conversation you can have. Maybe you can offer a similar effect with something less expensive. Most customers who are shopping for items have an idea of what they want in mind, but another sales tool that your customers can think about is having a good, better, best pricing model. So when their customer comes in with the idea that they have in mind, they can offer them a couple of ways to achieve that look. The best option might be exactly that look that they're looking for with, you know, a high-end garment, high-end finishes, some personalization, all of those things. But there's usually a way to get that into a good and a better option also. Maybe not as many colors, maybe not as many different types of products that are going on the garment, maybe not as many decorating locations. So a good, better, best model is also another way to think about it.
Did Danny have any other questions for Shauna today? Or
no, I think that's a great way to finish up today.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much, Sean, for taking the time to sit down with us and talk about the world's number one press brand, of course, that's right. We've really enjoyed having you.
Thanks for having me. This time has gone so fast. This has been really fun. So looking forward to seeing you all soon in person.
Definitely. Thank you very much to everybody for watching, listening, whatever platform you're viewing on. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and there'll be another Garma Decorators podcast on your screens or on Spotify next Monday.
Thanks, everybody.